Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the only podcast that was asked if Dallas could stop scoring goals against Nashville and replied, nine! It's time to do a little stargazing. Mark, you're back. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, it's great to be back. Well. I had to come back because, you know, Tyler's going to take my job here if he keeps doing this kind of stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, assign any credit or anything, but we saw the Stars have a pretty good week since our last podcast.
Yeah, there were a handful of goals out there, don't you think? And one of them even was by Ty Dellandrea.
And which was after watching the Carolina game, a little bit one of those experiences where you didn't think it was ever going to happen. You hoped it might. But yeah, he got on the board in the 9-2 romp against. I have to be honest, Mark, I don't understand why entirely, because it's not like they've been competitive in the same cycle a ton over their shared history. I love kicking the snot out of the Nashville Predators.
I think everybody does. You know, Nashville's kind of that. If you don't think St. Louis is going to be your big rival, Nashville is just, there's so many reasons to not like the Preds.
There are. And Dallas apparently didn't like them last night and hung a bunch. I think it's a good place to start. Let's talk about our friend Ty, because of course the story, and it was amazing to me because, you know, home broadcasts are, and I think this is a feature, not a bug, right? But home broadcasts are, let's say, very accommodating to the team. And the fact that they even asked him after the game about the number of chances he generated against the Hurricanes without scoring kind of tells you a lot about the game he had. And I mean, how painful was it for you, Mark, to watch just the procession of near misses and, you know, almosts in that game for Ty?
Well, I did kind of have Matthias Janmark flashbacks, so I was hoping that it was not going to be a consistent theme. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure that it isn't. You know, even the goal he scored didn't stay in the net very long.
Oh.
But, you know, the rap on Dellandrea was not necessarily that he was somebody who couldn't score goals. I think that's maybe just us reading into the situation, because we've seen so many forwards come through where you get the opportunities and you don't finish. Dellandrea is not really that kind of guy who gets all these rush chances and then just can't find a way to score. He's kind of the guy who gets on the forecheck and creates stuff and is part of a group that just is dogged on the puck. So I think maybe the breakaway is an anomaly.
Yeah. And I think you're right. He is not at the NHL level, right? It does not appear that he's going to be a guy that scores 30 goals and plays, you know, those kind of big time minutes. My question is this, Mark. guys settle into roles, right? And we've seen it play out with the way that DeBoer deploys his defense. We saw it, and we continue to see it in the way that, you know, Rick Bowness uses his forwards. Look at who gets ice time, you know, all this. Like, players get put into certain archetypes and used in certain ways. And that's just the reality of it. At some point, Ty kind of has to score. Not a lot, but like I contrast him with the season Sam Steele is having. For example, he seems like he's right on the cusp of he's either going to score and stick or become one of those wandering hockey nomads.
Yeah. And you know, he's a fox, fine. But would you bet on
it? Yeah, right. It'll be interesting. I don't know. It bears watching. I hope he can, because I'd love to see him slot into kind of a longer term role with the team. But especially with prospects coming up, that's the reality. And I'm glad that you mentioned betting, Mark, because BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here.
Yeah, and you know, I had that big hit last night where I had the in-game wager where Duchesne would have two assists pulled away at the end, and then he would go jam on his guitar after the game. So that was a big hitter for me.
Yeah, Mark, tell me, is there a more big-time athlete move, right, than to go have a dynamite offensive game against your old team and then go play an impromptu kind of guitar set?
Well, and especially after you have a great interview that says that you just absolutely loved this town, you wanted to stay there, but it just didn't work out. Yeah, good stuff.
Didn't work out. Well, one man's trash is another man's treasure. It is amazing to me how well he's fit in with that unit. But there wasn't, we'll get to some of the good, but I do want to start with one bit of bad news coming out of last night's game against the Predators. And we don't know the extent yet, but Nils Lundqvist left with an upper body injury, did not return. And Mark, I know you have thoughts on kind of what this exposes with the Dallas Stars.
Well, I think it kind of exposes a weak spot that Jim Neal usually doesn't let happen with this team. And you know, he's other than the, you know, I like where we're at, he's kind of famous for saying you can never have too much defense and you can never have too much goaltending. And throughout his tenure, he's had that. And this year is a bit odd. There's not a whole lot of defensive depth, whether you're talking about at Dallas or whether you're talking down in Cedar Park. And the same is true for goaltending. And so what do you do here if Nils Lundqvist can't continue to do what he's been doing over the last several weeks?
I mean, we're right back to where we started when he couldn't get in the lineup, right? This is a team now that has six NHL level defensemen. We've talked about Cedar Park not exactly having ready-made options. For a while, it was Joel Hanley in the seventh spot kind of jockeying for position with Nils Lundqvist. And now that's gone, realistically, right, you need six defensemen to play, and that's how many Dallas has. And unless you're David Castillo and think that Radek Foxa belongs on the blue line, there's really not a lot you can do about it in-house.
Well, and you can't even do that with Radek Foxa, because that all of a sudden moves you down to 11 forwards. So, the Stars at least have a little while here before they head out on the road. Not a whole lot of time, but I'm guessing that they play with the lineup that they have this weekend. And then some decisions need to be made. You know, how vulnerable do you want to be going on the road? Because you have a minimum set of players right now who are going to be in the lineup. And I can't imagine that there's not at least one call-up that needs to happen before the road trip.
Well, and I think as well, right, my immediate knee-jerk, and even as I was listening to you say that, Mark, my immediate knee-jerk was, well, let's wait to see what the injury is. Let's wait to see how much time Lundqvist is going to miss before we jump to any conclusions about what Dallas has to do. But as I thought it, I changed my mind, and that's sort of exactly the point you're raising, right? Even if, let's just say, and hopefully, right, I'm knocking on every wooden surface I can find here. Let's just say it's a stinger. And, you know, in the moment they were worried, it was precautionary. The game was already a laugher, right? No reason to fight through anything when you're, you know, pretty much home free at that point, right? Let's say it was even that. it still exposes the idea that, okay, well, what about next time, right? What if it actually is something, you know, what if it's somebody else or it's something serious? Like your best case scenario is that you're right back on the high wire that you're walking. And yeah, this is especially, we talked about Tyler and I, because, you know, you bailed on us, but we talked about this as kind of a show me stretch of hockey this month. And Dallas has started, you know, Carolina was a great game. Followed up by Nashville. You know, we're going to learn a lot in the ABC game on Saturday against Edmonton, right? So they're heading into this huge stretch. They've moved to the top of the conference. Their contender bona fides, right, are being, you know, reinforced. And so this problem is rearing its ugly head again. So once again, we find ourselves talking about how do you fix the defense, even if Lundqvist is entirely healthy, right? There's still a problem.
I think the last time I was on, I said, I'm going to kick the can down the road and I'm not even going to talk about this until the trade deadline. And I think any kind of potential injury changes that dynamic a bit. And so what do you do to fix that in the short term? And I would say at this point that you're either talking about something like, you know, Hanley's now the number six for the next month. Yep. And you probably have Alex Petrovic filling Hanley's role. That is potentially a little unnerving. You also could see something where, you know, the Stars very well could be watching the waiver wire and looking for somebody that they can pick up that they've had their eye on, who's on a short-term low-cost deal, and just use them to plug a gap. And not only plug a gap for the NHL club, but you're also talking about a Texas Stars team that really has been struggling quite a bit and could use some defensive help. So if you can find somebody who fits your system on the waiver wire, now is kind of the time.
So is that's then the route that you think that, yeah, because I think you're right, especially with some of like the Lindholm deal and some of what we're seeing in the trade market, the prices are high, which yeah. Suggests your Chris Tanevs, your Noah Hanifins, right? Your options at kind of the top of the pile, those might be a little bit too rich for you. We talked about this last time. Are you willing to trade Stankoven or Bork for a top four defenseman? If not, then it's the exactly kind of move you're talking about. It's less about, you know, you're probably looking at a specialist, right? Maybe it's not somebody that can do everything, but is very good on the penalty kill, or, you know, you're looking for somebody that can nail down a spot on your third pairing, something like that.
Yeah, and here, I think maybe what you need to take a look at is what's going to be good for the team long term. And I'm pretty sure that's what Nils not going to do a deal that costs this team their window over the next 4 or 5 years just to try and get it done this year. I think he, you know, his personality is one where if the proper deal doesn't show up, he's going to like where we're at and we're going to roll with it. But this is obviously a weekend. The national broadcast, and we've seen a couple of them here over the last weeks, they're right on it. It's like Stars weak on defense, need a right-handed guy. You know, if it's percolated up to the national broadcast people and they can get that right, that's a problem. So yeah. It does need to be looked at and addressed. And if it doesn't, then it's a calculated risk and just an obvious, the deals were just too rich.
Yeah. Well, and here's another question for you, because I think this is one of the other elements. So we haven't necessarily seen the expansion of the role that I think some of us in the pro Lundqvist camp would want. He's still in the, you know, 14 to 16 minute range, not exactly playing a ton. But at least with the exception of coming out in Toronto, which was maybe driven in part by, you know, where the game was and some other factors, who knows, right? But with the exception of the Toronto game, he has sort of found his niche in the roster. He's played consistently. There have been highlights, right? He had a beautiful assist in the Carolina game, feeding, I believe, it was Mason Marchman in the slot. Yep. It felt like he had sort of stepped into at least a role with the team. How does that factor in your opinion, into Jim Nill's decision making? Is he now looking at this as we need to, you know, is this a Lundqvist replacement situation, or have we maybe segued into a Lundqvist insurance situation?
I think it's strictly how do we keep Joel Hanley as in his role, which is the seventh D. And so it's a short-term Nils Lundqvist replacement, but somebody who has a skill set that you're willing to take at the Texas level, because I wouldn't be surprised if you pick up somebody on waivers. They last up at the NHL level for a couple weeks. And then when Lundqvist is back, they're on the waiver wire again. And if they don't clear, fine. If they do clear, Texas needs defensive help. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And again, it's not like there aren't – the other thing, right, is it's not like there aren't other problems in the – across the unit. Wouldn't it be nice to have – you know, matchup insurance when, you know, when and if you, you come across a team that, you know, maybe foot speed is going to be an issue and you, you start to look at the likes of Hakanpää or Suter, and it might be nice to have somebody that at least gives you the option to think about letting somebody watch one here and there.
Yeah. Although I don't think that's going to happen. My biggest concern is actually, you know, Joel Hanley's over 30, and I'm a big fan of Joel Hanley's game, and I think you can see some regression in it. The aging curve still hits guys who haven't played a lot of games.
Yeah.
Father time gets you. And I've seen enough that Hanley's not playing that as tight a game as he did 2 years ago.
It's harder to those breaks, right? It's the long, you know, when you're young, you can kind of fall out of bed and play, and it's not a big deal at all. But as you get older, you need more, you know, those days when you just don't have it, or the maintenance, or it becomes much harder to go from the press box to playing on the NHL, you know, at the NHL level with short notice. So I can definitely see that.
Yeah. And here, you know, my big thing has always been, you know, trade deadline. And I think Sean Shapiro's actually said some stuff about this earlier, is that at some point you would think that this team might even waive Joel Hanley and get him down to Texas as the reinforcement down there. And you could do that with a healthy Lundqvist and a pickup at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and you kind of have to. But I do think you're right. It will be interesting to see how Nil plays it. Cap space continues to accrue. We also don't know the extent of the severity. If it's a big injury, if it's one of those capital I injuries, then he's going to be out a while, then everything, you know, everything gets even more complicated, if you can believe it. But I think at this stage, it should solidify that Dallas needs to do something, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's depth or lineup help, they need another body. You can't with a team with this level of expectation and this level of ability and this level of opportunity, you can't go into the playoffs with seven guys that are capable of playing a position where you need six guys minimum.
Yeah. And I mean, it also kind of draws out this tightrope game that Jim Neal's been playing the last couple of years, where he's just bumping up straight against the cap, and you don't want to use long-term injured reserve. And so he is jumping through hoops to keep this team under. And he's been able to do it so far, but, you know, at a certain point that puts some pretty serious handcuffs on you and your ability to move people around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pricing. This is not the year, and it
hurts next year, because you take a look at it and you have $2 million of bonuses for Pavelski that he's already hit. And the emergence of Thomas Harley probably means he's going to get all his performance bonuses. And so you're talking about probably on the order of almost $3 million, maybe even a little more, of bonus money that's going to roll into next year's cap. So, you know, this is something Nil has to be paying attention to, and I don't think we're talking enough about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was the one, I think, when we did our fun prediction game coming out of the All-Star break, and I remain convinced that Thomas Harley is going to reset the Dallas record for goals for a defenseman. And yeah, it's a problem. It's a good problem for now, but it's certainly going to impact what they're able to do next year, what they're able to bring in. It changes a lot. And, you know, for a planner, yes, you can say, and folks are saying the cap's probably going up, but I feel like that's turned into one of those situations where every single time anything financially, it's almost like we've spent the money more times, right? More times than we've gotten it, right? Because every time anything comes up, it's, oh, well, the cap's going up. It'll solve everything. But, you know, it's not going to go up by that much.
Right. Well, and my argument is the cap's going up probably about as much money as we've already gonna have spent in performance overages. So that's going to be a wash for this team. So the question is, what do you do if Joe Pavelski is coming back, and you have this love affair with Duchesne, and so he fits in perfectly. you just aren't losing that much on the unrestricted free agents that you aren't going to sign. Yeah, you have Wedgwood. Everybody else, yeah, we'll keep Wedgwood around. Well, that's going to not save you any money. So you have Hakanpää's contract going away. Well, that means you better have somebody in the wings who's going to fill his spot at a price range where you want somebody to perform decently as a third pair guy. And I don't know that Texas really has that unless you think that Leon Bixel's just going to step in and fill that role.
He's not an option for this season at all, right? At this point, he's kind of, I don't remember the way that the international transfer rules work, but he's overseas now, right?
Well, yeah, Rugel's right on the verge of either making or missing the playoffs. It's entirely possible that he could be available in March. So there's some stuff. It's entirely possible that he comes over for a stretch run for Texas. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, who knows? Yeah, maybe he is an option. But that's there's a whole lot of ifs there. That let's see what happens with Rugel. Let's see what happens if he comes over and handles Texas before we start worrying about him as the deus ex machina for the Dallas Stars defense.
Yeah, and I think at this point, right, we have to we'll just have to wait and see. There's a couple more weeks left here before the deadline, we'll see. We will see what Dallas does.
9 goals a game would certainly fix a lot.
It certainly eases a lot of troubles. Now, on that note, and shifting into something a little bit more positive, I have a question about for you, Mark. Not a question about you. It has to do with, I'm always obsessed. Like, players have these life cycles, right? We put labels on them. They go through phases of their careers. And we've been talking for a while. And I noticed it last night when the broadcast was talking about how Thomas Harley, and this is an ESPN Plus game, so you know, forgive them for not knowing the team they're watching when it's not like Chicago or Pittsburgh, but they were talking about Thomas Harley in this case and talking about how he's really solidifying his place in the Stars lineup. And I rolled my eyes because that place is solid. And it got me thinking about somebody else, right? At what point are we willing to declare Wyatt Johnston no longer a prospect and instead just, you know, an NHL player?
Well, I think he's at that point. I think he truly arrives when you start talking about the Johnston line.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of the Ben Johnston line. So yeah, he needs to, he's obviously putting up the numbers. He is exactly what we hoped he would be, which is this ultra aware, high hockey IQ guy who can find space and then knows what to do with the puck when he gets it there. He will mature into a spot where he can drive play. And right now he's still slightly dependent on people around him, but he's close.
Yeah. And the thing that stood out to me this season is he has migrated. He's transitioned from, like you said, last season, the storyline was how putting him with Ben and with Dadonov ultimately, but how putting him with Ben for the most part kind of let him get his legs under him. And the story was how the players around him were making it easier and therefore allowing him to succeed. Well, this year, right, we saw some stumbles out of the top trio and who got moved up, right? We've started to see Wyatt Johnston. He's on the second power play unit that scored again last night, right? That's been successful. We've started to see Wyatt Johnston popping up as the solution in various situations, not just as, you know, the guy that is being carried. And to me, that's, you know, we're talking about inflection points. To me, that's super significant because, again, you know, he's watch late games, right? He's out there on the penalty kill. He's out there when it's late and close. He's out there when they need to score. Like, he's no longer being used like a guy that the coaches feel like they're coddling, right? He's being used like a you know, grown up NHL player.
Yeah. And you know, what's fascinating to me is, you know, as great as that line was, the top line with Hintz, Robertson, and Johnston was, I'm not sure if that's the future, because if we talk next year, I'm thinking maybe, you know, Johnston's cut his teeth. He can center a line, and I'm seeing him with Stankoven and maybe Bork on the top line.
Yeah.
Just because neither Stankoven nor Bork is going to be a guy who's just going to come in and be the guy on the line. And I think Johnston's at a point where next year he could do that.
I mean, he's sort of, this is where you get into, you know, some of the stuff we hear about, you know, Joe Pavelski's influence, not just on Wyatt, but on the rest of that roster and all of the, you know, throw a rock and you'll hit a columnist writing a story about the supposed strength of the Dallas Stars room. And, you know, this is a kid that played internationally. Sort of, he was an important player at every level. Why wouldn't he be an important player at this one? And if you think about what a player might need in order to help other players kind of make the transition into the NHL, what's missing from Wyatt Johnston, right? He's had success. He's had mentorship. Like, there's really not a gap. So I think it's entirely possible that you could see, yeah, why not throw him with two other kids and see what they do?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the, you know, the kids line, if you will, the Johnston, Bork, Stankoven line, just because I don't know that I want Bork and Stankoven figuring out how to win board battles against the bigger men than they're used to going up against in the AHL all at the same time. Ben's going to be somewhere. I see no problem with kind of a Ben Johnston Stankoven line. I think that melds together pretty well. I think Bork's game melds really well with Hintz and Robertson because he's a guy who sees the ice real well, and everybody else on that line does as well. Stankoven's a finisher, so being with Ben, who can kind of run the protection side, plus is a sneaky good passer, sees the ice. And Johnston's the same way. I think Stankoven thrives in that environment. And if you're talking about keeping everything around, then you have Sagan, Marchment, and maybe Duchesne if the team can afford to bring him back. Those are three really good lines.
The only question you have about a, you know, Johnston, Bork, Stankoven unit is there enough size? But by the time that line comes about, Johnston will have played either two complete or most of two NHL seasons. So I think it seems like there's quite a bit of trust there.
Yeah, and Bork and Johnston are both defensively reliable. There's a learning curve there that I think putting all three of them together in a role where you expect performance out of them might be asking more. And it's an ask that I don't think you need to make.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the ability not to. Yeah. Maybe it's a goal, but in the meantime, there are other options that I think can be just as successful without making that ask.
Yeah. I agree completely. You have the opportunity to set players up for success rather than kind of making them.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, this is like the fun new toy, right? So yeah, we want to see them all together, and wouldn't that be fun? But let's take a step back and let them succeed. And if that's the way it works out a season or two down the line, then great.
Let's see other stuff. Cautiously optimistic, but post All-Star break, boy, hey, howdy, does Jake Oettinger look like he's back?
Yeah, just not often that you get to tie Kari Lehtinen records, right?
I miss that guy. He was. I hope that as this generation of the Stars team moves forward and starts to have a little bit more success, I hope at some point we will be able to look back and appreciate who Lehtinen was for this franchise.
Yeah, and you know, probably all-time favorite Dallas Stars picture is Lehtinen sitting on the net.
Yep, he was a bro. He was good. He was definitely a. Oh, that's a great. Going to inside baseball here a little bit. KT just dropped it in the chat. So Mark, Dallas has been doing the Ring of Honor thing for the Stars. Is Kari Lehtinen a Dallas Stars Ring of Honor player?
I think he probably doesn't get there just because he doesn't have the personality that Marty Turco did, and that's kind of who he took over from. Statistically, I think you can argue that he was the guy who carried the team for 5+ years was probably a top 5 goaltender in the NHL, and the stats wouldn't bear it out because he was standing in front of a Dallas defense that we couldn't afford to get good players on.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag, right? So look, I just pulled up his stats for funsies, looking at Hockey Reference. So he played 9 years in Dallas, 445 games, right? So I think he hits a longevity standard. Mm-hmm. He had overall, right? He had a .912 save percentage, 2.63 goals against average. So he had some good, some good counting stats. He had it. His best year, .920. I mean, he had a stretch of four seasons where it was .914, .922, .916, .919. So from, 2010 through 2013, through 2014, he was stellar. And then, you know, from there, it's 903, 906, 902, 912, right? So he kind of dropped off in the later stages, but there was a 4-year stretch, to your point, where like those were elite goaltending numbers that, you know, looking at goal in whatchamacallit, in 2011, 2012, Cat saved 14 goals above average, right? With a 922, 233 split, 4 shutouts. Like the 2011, 2012 Dallas Stars weren't fantastic. They lost 22 games.
Lehtinen was, I think, perfect for that team because he played better when he was under pressure. And here, you know, people are going to say, no, he choked under pressure. But if he was facing rubber coming at him all the time, he was incredible. He'd get into trouble when he was supposed to win and had time to think about it. When he was under the barrage and they were throwing 40 shots at him, he was standing on his head and just absolutely keeping those bad Dallas Stars teams in games for season after season.
Yeah, and I think as well, you're right, we have to era adjust. Right? And he was the anchor for the Stars at a period of time when they weren't a cap team and they weren't competing for the premium title. Like these were the dark days. And he still managed to get in 2013, 2014, he still managed to get a top 10 Vezina vote. I think he was 8th that season. So unfortunately, it fell off starting in 2014, really 2014 till the end of his time in Dallas, 2018. Those 4 seasons were not as good. I think he's negative 21, negative 9.6, negative 17 goals above average. Rebounded a little bit in 2017, 2018, but he was, for the most part, as an elite goaltender, he was kind of done by 2013, 2014. And, you know, I don't know, man. I'm more of a, when I think about Hall of Fames, right, I'm less of a set a war target. And if the guy gets over the war target, he's in. And I think especially team Hall of Fames, it's in. Can you tell the story of an era without this player's contributions? And I just think he was so important at a time when there was very little going well for the Dallas Stars, that I would put him in. I'm just saying, I think he did enough. I'd put him in.
I'm not going to fight you too hard on it because that is my wife's favorite Dallas Stars sweater. So kind of see where my household stands on
it. There you
go. I'm going with her.
He's the patron saint of lost causes as far as Dallas Stars are concerned. What are some other guys? Just while we're on the topic, I'm curious. There's the obvious ones, the Turcos and the like, but who do you think might be kind of a dark horse candidate for Ring of Honor inclusion?
He's not going to get there, but the guy who completely embraces the Stars of that era, Vern Fiddler.
Oh, Vern.
I mean, I
literally just smiled thinking of just the name Vern, just hearing Vern Fiddler's name brought back grins. So I think, yeah, that's a good one.
Yep. Same era, popular guy, Anton Roussel.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
I don't think he gets there, but you know what? Anytime you can, you can kind of put your hand to your ear going through the United Center after scoring in a shootout. Yeah, you're pretty high on my list there.
There's as I poo-poo it, like I'm still looking through, like he played 400 games with the Stars, 413. He had 64 goals, 141 points, like not nothing, 800 penalty minutes. Like
you could even go Steve Ott probably deserves some of that conversation too. Yeah. One of my all time faves.
Oh man. What about our good friend, Trevor Daley?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but
if only for the number of years, people just hated him. He for a while was like the Dallas Stars fans always just hate one defenseman. It just doesn't matter. We error. Just there's just one guy on that team that we're just always constantly frustrated by, and it was Trevor Daley for a while. I think
it was, but you know what? I bet that everybody in Dallas who's a hockey fan was celebrating when he lifted the cup with
Pittsburgh. He was a good player.
He was a great player and a great dude.
Yeah, he was a dude. He was a dude. Anyways, that was I'm glad we segued into that. That was a make those era Stars teams, I think, don't always get their due because they just really couldn't. There was a hard cap on what they were able to accomplish, and it's nice to appreciate in retrospect what they gave us.
Yeah, you know, talent-wise, not necessarily what you want, but entertaining, yes, and really, really good hearts. So I think if the Dallas Stars have as a core just having good human beings around, I'm all for that.
Now, we got one more thing, Mark. We've got a big tilt on Saturday with the Edmonton Oilers, who have come down a little bit from their, like, million games. I believe their winning streak stretched for 472 games at one point, I believe, give or take. But they're now just, they're a paltry 7-3-0 in their last 10. They lost their last game. Dallas, surprisingly, has a higher points percentage than the Oilers. I guess it's not surprising given how Edmonton started, but my goodness, have they been better lately? This is going to be a good one, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, Cody Ceci scored recently. Obviously it's going to be just a big push on high scoring defenders. I'm fully expecting that maybe the one guy we've really missed here in the last month and a half is the Hawk and Paw heater, and I think it's going to come back.
Well, I mean, it's going to have to. This is going to be fascinating because the narrative around Oilers games are always a no. So to be very clear, I'm a homer, but I'm not that much of a homer. Nobody can stop Connor McDavid. Just to be very clear that this podcast isn't that insane. But there are a small handful of players in the league that can at least share the ice with him and look like they're playing the same sport. And one of those people historically has been Miro Heiskanen. So I always get a little bit geared up, excited to see those two go head to head. And frankly, especially now that Harley has joined that line and that pairing, I'm frankly really, really interested. I assume that's going to be the matchup that Pete DeBoer probably wants. It's a home game, so he's going to have last change. I assume he's going to want Miro head on with McDavid. And if he does that, it's probably Harley as well. And I think that's going to be a really fascinating pair for what we've all kind of recognized or hoped slash assumed is Stars' number one unit moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to be a question of whether the top talent on Dallas can shut down the top talent on Edmonton, because the Stars want to get to the depth.
Yep.
That's where they have the advantage.
Yeah, because I think that's it's less to me, Mark, about shutting down the top talent, and it's more about it's more about limitation, right? I think you go in with the mentality of they're going to get something. They're too good not to. And frankly, you look at what was there, like six different goal scorers against Nashville. That to me is more, the blueprint is that more than it's, you know, somebody, you know, more than the top line or somebody balling out. But I think that to me, you're exactly right. Can the top line, top unit, whoever gets matched up with McDavid, play them close to evens so that the, you know, Johnston unit and Sam Steele and that crew makes the difference?
Yeah. And I mean, to tell you the truth, I think, you know, Edmonton is a team very similar to Nashville as far as being top heavy. And I haven't looked at the numbers for matchups, but the one line that stands out, you know, they were actually a minus, was the top line. The Hintz Robertson and Pavelski line was -1 against Nashville. But it's entirely possible that they were taking one for the team, taking out the top line, which allowed the rest of the team to just go crazy.
And that's how you know, hockey's all about giving the other team bad choices, right? You either say, okay, take that trio out and we've got three more to throw at you, or you say, try and play as balanced. And maybe this is one of those games where Edmonton tries to mitigate the down roster impact of some of the players Dallas has going, right? The Sagan line, the Duchesne, you know, that crew. And as a result of that, Robertson and Co. get a little bit more room to breathe and we get one of those blowouts or one of those first line games where they have 5 points before everybody's in their seat.
Yeah, and it's a matter of, does the Dallas Stars' depth beat out the top end talent on that Edmonton top line? And that's what's intriguing. That's the power of this Dallas Stars team this year is the incredible depth and score. The scoring just gets spread around, and so you can't just say we're going to take out so and so and then we're going to shut the whole game down. No, because something else, you know, it's a whack-a-mole offense. And somebody's going to pop one into the net.
We are. Let's flag the tape, Casey. From now on, here on out, rest of the way, this year's Dallas Stars is the whack-a-mole offense. I love it. I love it. Well, it'll be a great game. I'm very excited. And I mean, really, like, buckle up, right? Edmonton on Saturday, day off Sunday, then a back-to-back away. They have Boston on Monday, New York on Tuesday, Ottawa, kind of the Thursday trap game, then back in Carolina on Saturday, followed by Islanders, Avalanche, Jets. So the next 2 weeks of hockey are going to be a delight for the senses. And I cannot wait to get there. And I'm super excited. Mark, any closing thoughts?
Send your prayers to Nils Lundqvist.
There you go. There you go. Well, this has been Stargazing presented by Bet Online. Mark, thank you as always for your insight. KT, for doing the hard work behind the scenes. Can't wait to see what happens in Edmonton. Podcast over.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.